Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. Now, the Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service in the public interest, and I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 75 countries worldwide on the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit the webpage at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. The Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law news and current events. Stay tuned for tonight's special report on the vaccine shortage right after this. You know, Americans today are interrogated, watched, measured, and counted more than at any time in our history. And this surveillance and electronic record keeping of nearly every routine activity from bank deposits to medical visits has produced greater efficiency and security. But it's also responsible for a very discernible erosion of our ability to live our lives free from outside scrutiny. The federal government currently maintains an average of 15 files. That's right, 15 files on every American. That's according to estimates by the Office of Management and Budget. There are your tax dollars at work. Now, closer to home, state and local governments use computers to keep their own files on us, and a study conducted by the New York Committee on Open Government, for instance, found that that state, New York, and its agencies operated 1,776 separate data systems. They contain 10,799 categories of information about New York residents, and every one of those systems contained between 2 and 10 million records, and you can just bet your state does the same thing. Now, this information is gained from 63 sources, and this information is gathered and stored in a very reasoned and logical manner for later retrieval and use. Now, would you like to know how government, banking, insurance, business, and industry obtains all of this information about you? What are their sources? How is it stored? How is it retrieved? What do they want it for? Knowing how this information is gathered and knowing what information is being stored about you and what information you want to keep personal and private actually puts you in the driver's seat in your quest for privacy, if you just knew how. Now, for more information about privacy and privacy issues, why don't you call the law school here at 417-273-4967 and ask for my free general law CD package. And let me tell you how to train yourself to be just as personal and private as you want to be. It's educational, it's informative, it's entertaining. Best of all, it's free of charge. You can order yours. Just call 417-273-4967. Or if you're online, go to the website georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Click onto the email machine, send me an email request. Remember, that's georgegordon.org, or call direct 417-273-4967. All right, last time we were talking about the vaccine shortage. You know, there's a big hue and cry here in the United States about we don't have enough flu vaccine. My God, 40,000 people die every year. Hey, wait a minute. Let me mull this over a second. 40,000 people, they're telling us here in the news reports that I've got, 40,000 people a year are dying from the flu in the United States. Now, every year we vaccinate millions and millions of people, and now it used to be that 30,000 people a year were dying from the flu, and more people are being vaccinated every year. And the deaths from flu grow every year. Hey, wait a minute. If we put a certain type of fuel in your automobile, and you were driving your car down the road, and it quit running, And every time we put that kind of fuel in your car doesn't run, wouldn't you stop putting that fuel in there? You know, my common sense would say to me that if we're vaccinating more and more people with flu vaccine and every year more and more people die, it may not be that the flu vaccine is killing these people, but it sure as hell ain't saving them, is it? I just thought I'd throw that out there for your consideration. But anyway, we believe in our flu vaccines. Hey, we believe in our vaccines, and that's why we're giving our children 36 vaccines by age 5. Dr. John Clausen has published 29 articles on vaccine-induced diabetes. Vaccine-induced diabetes. This is Dr. John Clausen. This isn't George Gordon now. Don't get mad at me. This is Dr. John Clausen. Not all doctors believe in vaccines and vaccinations. Some doctors actually do statistical research and find out that vaccines cause disease, don't prevent disease, and kill people. And they write books and articles and they publish them and they get stashed in libraries where nobody will ever see them, where they'll never see the light of day. And they do that because if you people knew what vaccines were doing to you, you wouldn't buy them. I mean, that's just common sense, isn't it? So, if we want you to buy a product that's not good for you, kills you, harms you, we got to keep that away from you, don't we? So, we don't want to tell you about that. But Dr. John Clausen, he wants to tell you about it. So, he published 29 articles on vaccine-induced diabetes. At least 8 of 10 children, now that's 80% of children with type 1 insulin-needing diabetes have this disease as a direct result of vaccination. And these children may have avoided measles, mumps, and whooping cough, but they have now received something far worse, an illness that shortens life expectancy by 10 to 15 years and results in life requiring constant medical care. We turn these children into invalids for life, for profit and gain. Now, Dr. Clausen has shown in Finland the introduction of hemophilus type B vaccine caused three times as many cases of type 1 diabetes as the number of deaths and brain damage from hemophilus influenza type B that it might have prevented. So, we're hyped up. Boy, we're excited. And they say, get your flu shot. It'll save you from dying from the flu. So you can die from insulin or die from diabetes or die from some other degenerative disease. Okay, we saved you from the flu. Well, the bad news is you died of cancer. I think if you people took a look at these numbers here, I think you'd probably say, you know, maybe I ought to rethink this. Dr. Clausen has shown in Finland, the introduction of hemophilus type B vaccine caused three times as many cases of type 1 diabetes as the number of deaths and brain damage from this influenza. The vaccine caused three times as many deaths as the influenza. The cure is three times worse than the disease. So they come along and say, my God, aren't you afraid of the flu? Oh God, yeah, I'm terrified of the flu. Good, come in and get your flu shot. And you have a three times greater chance of dying from the shot than from the flu. Now does that make any sense to you? I'm just threw the question out. You know, if that makes sense to you, you know, get after it. Get down there and get your flu shot. Vote Democratic next time. Blame the Republicans because you're short of flu shots. Flu vaccine. In New Zealand, the incidence of type 1 diabetes in children rose by 61% after an aggressive vaccine program against hepatitis V. Hepatitis B. B as in boy. This same program has been started in the USA, so we can now look forward to many cases of type 1 diabetes in children here in the United States. Similar rises in type 1 diabetes have been seen in England, Italy, Sweden, and Denmark after immunization programs against hepatitis B. This isn't something that hasn't been studied, observed, documented, and then historically preserved, boys and girls. You know, I said this last time, if we were flying jet airplanes and it crashed and killed 100 people, we'd have a hissy fit. Why, we'd be jumping up and down, pawing the ground, biting the bushes and screaming and yelling, having an apoplectic fit, demanding that the FAA and the government get after that and find out what causes this problem. Terrorists come into this country and kill 3,000 people, and my God, we have spent hundreds of billions of dollars to prevent death by terrorism. Oh, by the way, these terrorists have killed less than 5,000 people over the last 25 years in this country. I bet you they haven't killed many more than 25,000 people worldwide over the last 20 years. In fact, the numbers that I saw the other day was less than 1,000 people a year killed by terrorism worldwide over the last 25 years. We are killing people by the millions through vaccines. Just Vioxx alone, they just took that off the market here in the United States, killed thousands of people. More people died from Vioxx, for crying out loud. I got a book sitting here on my desk. I'm going to give you a report on this. It says, Deadly Medicine. Why tens of thousands of heart patients died in America's worst drug disaster. Deadly Medicine. Why tens of thousands of heart patients died, past tense. They're already dead, buried. Doctors bury their mistakes, you know. In America's Worst Drug Disaster, written by Thomas J. Moore. I'll give you a report on that. Not today, but I'll give you a report on that. Now listen, tens of thousands of people are dying from the drugs that come out of our pharmaceutical industries. 130,000 people are killed every year by doctors in hospitals. It's called iatrogenic disease. Doctor-induced illness. The doctor kills you. Yeah, you go into the hospital. So some really tragic cases. I guess I shouldn't laugh. But sometimes you just can't control yourself. You know, you say, my God, we are so damn dumb that it's got to be funny or we couldn't live with it, could we? Doctors on drugs. And by the way, 46% of all medical doctors in the United States are drug addicts. Let me tell you that one again. 46%. That's nearly half. In round numbers, it's half. That is, every other doctor in America is a drug-addicted fellow. So when you go into the hospital, this guy's probably snorting a little coke, shooting up with a little heroin or morphine before he goes into surgery. Now, he's going to work on you, and sometimes they will cut out the wrong lung. You know, you got lung cancer, and they're going to cut out your left lung, the one with the lung cancer. They make a mistake and cut out the right one. That's the bad news. The good news is they will remove the other lung free. No cost to you whatsoever. How often does that happen? Well, probably in lung transplant operations or lung operations, probably not too often, but cutting off the wrong foot, wrong leg, wrong lung, you know, taking out the wrong organ, leaving the sponges and scalpels and things in here, or just plain killing people on the operating table, or giving them the wrong doses of medicines, giving them too much or too little, or giving them the wrong medicine, kills 130,000 people in the United States every year. And that's what the government statistics tell us, and that's what they admit to. And you know as well as I do that they're going to do everything in their power to limit, you know, it's 130,000 a year. It's probably double that, but, you know, they're going to hold the numbers down as low as they can to put the best face on a bad situation. Now, I'm not telling you not to go to the hospital. If that's what you want to do, get after it. But, you know, why don't you think about that? Hospitals are places where people go to die. It's really not a very healthful place for you to be. And they kill 130,000 people a year. God, people just get excited as hell when an airplane goes down or a terrorist kills five people, but they don't seem to care too much about 130,000 people dying from iatrogenic disease or 40,000 people a year dying from these shots of this, that, or something else. You know, diabetes, you know, affects millions of people. Millions. I don't know how many exactly, but it's many millions of people here in this country. And there's a cause and effect relationship to it. And putting more pop machines in the halls of your public schools, do you people, honest to God, do you believe that putting Coke machines in the halls of a public high school is going to solve the diabetes problem among teenagers? Or do you think maybe it might exacerbate it a little bit? Maybe it wouldn't exacerbate it. Well, is it going to help in it? Hell, I went to school, you know. I went to public school. They didn't have any Coke machines in the public school. You had to go across the street to the canteen. If you want to buy poison, you got to go off school grounds to do it. Want to smoke, can't do it here. I don't know why they don't put cigarette machines in the public schools. I'll bet you that cigarettes cause fewer deaths than Coca-Cola. I don't know that positively, but I just bet. That's my opinion. I smoked for 9 years and didn't kill me. Fortunately, I woke up to reality, but, you know, I can't understand why you don't want to put cigarettes in schools. My God, that's poison. Why in the world would you want to put 9 or 10 teaspoons of sugar in every soda pop into a pop machine and stick it in there for your kid when his body can only digest 3 teaspoons a day? In 24 hours, your body can only digest 3 teaspoons of white sugar. Every soda pop has 9. Some of them have more. I had a guy come in here one time. He's drinking a soda pop, and it was called Jolt. And right on the can, it says double the caffeine and double the sugar. Double the caffeine and double the sugar. Reminds me when I was a kid, I had eternal life when I was 19. All kids have eternal life. I was smoking cigarettes, and somebody said to me that these cigarettes were probably going to kill me. And then I jokingly said, yes, and let me light up another coffin nail. We called them coffin nails, cigarettes, when I was a kid. That's why I said, you know, when I was a kid, I used to fly airplanes. I used to fly them under bridges and under power lines. God, what an adrenaline rush. Then when I got to be 30, I started flying over the bridges and power lines. When I got to be 50, I quit flying. As soon as I found out that the family that flies together dies together. The older you get, the more fragile life becomes. Let me tell you, when you get to be 65, I'm looking at my last 5 years, boys and girls. I'm 65. And remember, God told me, he said, 70. I got 5 years left. God, 5 years isn't very long. Now, you got children out here, and children all believe they've got eternal life. Well, until they get to be about 30. And then they'll grow up and they'll realize that, hey, wait a minute, maybe smoking these cigarettes wasn't such a good idea. But listen, killing your kid, you know, early on, giving him diabetes, you know, early on, isn't doing him any favor. Now, Claussen has shown that in Finland, the introduction of hemophilus type B vaccine caused 3 times as many cases of type 1 diabetes as the number of deaths and brain damage from hemophilus influenza type B might have prevented. So when you take the vaccine to cure the disease, even if it prevents the disease, it kills 3 times as many people from the side effects from the cure. And it's not just that vaccine, it's all of them. All of them contain mercury, formaldehyde, or aluminum. Now maybe if we could get our vaccines and we didn't have those toxic substances in them, you know, maybe it wouldn't kill as many people. One guy suggested over here, do you suppose that the New World Order, the Club of Rome, and these think tanks might want to be reducing the world's population with diseases and vaccines? You know, just thought I'd throw that out there for your consideration. After all, it wasn't brought up by me. It was brought up by one of these scientists. Said, hell, maybe that's what they're up to. These vaccines contain many toxic substances that are needed to prevent the vaccines from becoming infected or to improve the performance of the vaccine. So here's a scientist, and he says, well, the reason they put this in here is to prevent the vaccine from becoming infected. I mean, this stuff is so damn toxic, you got to put a poison in here to keep the microbes under control. Okay. And you want to stick this in your arm? You want to mainline this stuff? I think you'd be better off mainlining heroin. That's another little story over here. The doctors in America are killing 130,000 people a year in your hospitals. I mean, these are legalized deaths. I mean, they screw up, you know, and your doctor who's a drug addict, well, half of them. Half the doctors aren't on drugs. Half of them are. Do you know how many people die in the United States of America from illegal drugs? Now, we're spending billions of dollars a year on the war on drugs. Kill 6,000 people a year on illegal drugs. 6,000 Americans a year are dying from illegal drugs. My God, we've got to do something about these illegal drugs. Isn't that the mantra that you hear? Well, the legal drugs kill 130,000 people a year. Let's see how many times that is. 130 divided by 6, boys and girls, is 21.66. We kill 21 times as many people in this country with legal drugs than we do with illegal drugs. Hey, just my common sense tells me that Hank the drug pusher down on the street corner is less of a threat to me and you than is Dr. Welby, M.D., or Marcus Welby, M.D., down at Mercy Medical Center. And he costs a whole lot less. I mean, hell, that's free enterprise. We're not paying any tax dollars. We're not too concerned about some druggie down the street killing himself, are we? Of course, they shoot themselves up and they give themselves AIDS, herpes, and VD, I guess, along with it. But, you know, we look at that, and if you thought about it, aren't they the proximate cause of their own injury? Now, the doctor comes over here. He induces us to take these vaccines. Your pediatrician is inducing you mothers out here to give your children these 36 vaccines. 90% of those same pediatricians are not giving those vaccines to their children. Now, what's that tell you? 90%. You know who said that? A guy by the name of Robert Mendelsohn. You got to get this book. Go into a health food store and just tell the clerk in there you want Mendelsohn's book on Confessions of a Medical Heretic. I think it was in that book. He wrote quite a few. This guy Mendelsohn now was a doctor. He was a little better than the average Joe Sixpack doctor down on the street corner. This guy taught doctors. He was a medical school professor. Medical school professor, Dr. Robert Mendelsohn, Confessions of a Medical Heretic. He said in that book, I'm pretty sure it's that book. If it ain't that one, then it's got to be the book on how to raise a healthy child in spite of your pediatrician. How to raise a healthy child in spite of your pediatrician. Hey, listen, buy those two books. Dr. Robert Mendelsohn, walk in there. He's written probably 10 or 20 books, but just tell him. The guy's funny. I mean, he's as funny as George Burns and Gracie Allen. I'm telling you, you'll just be in stitches reading those two books. I couldn't put them down. And that's where he told me. He said, you know, I teach doctors in medical school. I wouldn't give my kid a vaccination, and I'm a medical school professor. Hey, what's that tell you? Well, I'm a dairyman. I'm a farmer, and I wouldn't drink the milk out of my own bulk tank. That's why I said to you, I never met one yet that would. And then I had that one woman call me, and she said, well, we do. Well, then you must have clean milk, lady. It's the only thing I can figure out. By God, I wouldn't. Not after I shot him up with the dehydrostreptomycin and aeromycin and penicillin, and the milking machines get kicked off by the cow and suck up some manure and goes down the pipeline. You think we're dumping out 1,000 gallons of milk because there's a little cow manure in it? Boys and girls? No siree, Bob. What we'll do is we'll shoot a tube of penicillin into the tank, kill the bacteria, and sell that slop to you. We wouldn't feed it to our pigs, would we? We'd feed it to you. Now listen to these toxic substances are needed to make vaccines. You gotta have these toxic substances. Vaccines contain many toxic substances that are needed to prevent the vaccines from becoming infected or to improve the performance of the vaccine. And in the past 10 years, the number of autistic children has risen from 200% to 500% in every state in the United States. Did you hear that? Now, I never heard the word autistic in my life until I was an adult. I must have been, oh, hell, 30, 40 years old. Now, I'm sure that there was probably an autistic kid you know around once in a while here and there. How many of you heard about AIDS or HIV 50 years ago? Alzheimer's disease 50 years ago. Hell, diabetes was rare. Now, cancer wasn't rare. When I was a kid, they used to just scare the bejesus out of all of us. They'd say, hey, one person out of every five will get cancer in his lifetime. Now, that was 1950. I was about 11 years old. Woo! One in five. God, We got a 20% chance here of getting cancer, 1 in 5. Hell, today it's 1 in 2, and they promise 1 in 1. 100% of us are going to get cancer in our lifetimes by the year 2020. Now, these medical professors and these medical doctors and these pharmaceutical companies have not saved us from cancer, boys and girls. They haven't saved us from jack squat. That's the bottom line. Now, in the Bible, God gave us all of the green herbs. He said these are herbs. These are medicines. Yeah, they're medicines. And heroin is a medicine. Did you know that? Marijuana is a medicine. It's an herb. It's green. Now, of course, the government comes along and says, hey, you guys are abusing heroin, cocaine. And that's true. They're not lying to you. Those drugs, you know, once you've manufactured this crap and you've turned it into some kind of street drug over here, this stuff isn't fit to stick in your body. But in its original form, you know, in the herb form, in the leaves and in the saps and stuff, and before you turn it into a chemical, you know, that gets toxic. You know, sugar cane's good for you until you turn it into a drug called refined sugar. That's what refined sugar is. It's a drug. Sugar is not a drug. You can't overdose on honey. You can sit there and eat honey, and I'll tell you what will happen. You just start eating honey and just keep after it. Just keep after it. Just keep after it. And you know what's going to happen? You'll just puke your guts out. There's no overdosing on honey. Now just start eating or drinking white sugar. And not only can you overdose on it, I don't think it'll make you puke. I don't think you'll vomit white sugar. I guess if you got enough of it in there, you probably could. But that's the problem with it. And your body can only digest 3 teaspoons of it. That's a drug. That's a poison. And we sell it in the form of soda pop to our children. Then we wonder why they get autistic. Or die from some other disease, that, or get ADHD or something else, and then we send them off to the schools with their Ritalin so we can drug them up and then we can drug them down. My God. Well, autism has risen by 200 to 500% in every state in the Union. This sharp rise in autism followed the introduction of measles, mumps, and rubella vaccine in 1975. If we were talking about airplanes, and this airplane, the Comet, started crashing after 10,000 hours of service. Somebody said, God, is it metal fatigue? They started looking at metal fatigue, and sure enough, there it was. Well, there's an old adage that says, you know, penny wise and pound foolish. We're real concerned about airplane crashes and kill millions of people with drugs and don't even investigate it. And here's the tragedy of it. All these numbers are available. Hell, they're out there. And furthermore, Dan Rather and Tom Brokaw and Peter Jennings all know this. I'm not telling you people something that they don't know. But they're not going to report this on the 6 o'clock news because they depend upon the advertising revenue that comes from the pharmaceutical industry. The politicians depend upon the dollars that they receive from the pharmaceutical industry to pay for the advertisement to get reelected to office. Now, that's what the program is all about. So they don't tell you what they're doing to you, and then they do it to you and get you to pay for it. They make the profits and then get you to vote for more of it from the contributions that they make to your politicians. Well, now, isn't that just real special? Representative Dan Burton's healthy grandson was given injections for 9 diseases in one day. These injections were instantly followed by autism. 9 vaccinations in one day. Well, look, if you gave this kid 1 vaccination every month for 36 months, you'd be giving him the same 36 vaccinations. And you'd probably cause a lot less damage. I reported to you that in Japan, they figured out that that's what was happening over there, that you were vaccinating these babies, these children, at too young an age. See, the immune system, when a baby is born, is is virtually non-existent. It develops after birth. So they postponed vaccinations over in Japan until the babies are 2 years old. And the incidence of sudden infant death syndrome dropped dramatically. Now, I don't have the number right in front of me. I've reported on it before, but I don't know, it dropped by half or three quarters or 90% or whatever it was, but it dropped significantly. Well, now, you know, cause and effect comes into play here. If you suspect that there's a problem and then you test that theory and it increases the death rate, well, then that ought to tell you that didn't work. And then if the death rate goes down because of some action, you know, like the doctors go on strike in Israel for 6 weeks and the death rate goes down 25%, well, that sends you a pretty clear signal, doesn't it? Doctors go back to work and then the death rate goes back up to normal. Well, that sends you a little signal, doesn't it? Doesn't that tell you something? This Representative Dan Burton's healthy grandson, given 9 shots in one day. And this kid develops autism right away. These injections contain a preservative of mercury called thimerosal, T-H-I-M-E-R-O-S-A-L. The boy received 41 times the amount of mercury, which is capable of harm to the body. Mercury is a neurotoxin that can injure the brain and nervous system, and tragically it did. Now, it may have been the doctor's fault for giving him 9 shots in one day. I don't know what the recommended dosage is, but now that's a pretty tragic event. Fortunately, as I reported to you, that baby will come up in the resurrection, be given a new brain, new body, and he'll be given a chance at life. But meanwhile, back on the farm, that child is going to live with autism for, you know, 50, 60, 70, 80 years. You know. Don't you think that we could do a little better than that? So if I warn one person out here, you know, maybe we've accomplished some good. I don't think that the majority of Americans are going to make any meaningful change, but then keep in mind that the majority of Americans then become the proximate cause of their own injury. It isn't that the information isn't available, it's that the information is being hidden. So as a consumer, then you have to put your nose to the wheel over here and search it out for yourself. If you want to know something, I guess you better go find out, because you're not going to get told this in public school. In fact, in public school, they're going to say you can't come in here and learn anything unless you're shot up with snake venom and monkey pus first. Now, remember, it's the toxins that are in the vaccines. I would imagine the vaccines are bad for you anyway. I can't imagine shooting up somebody with fetal tissue. I mean, you know, you take this baby, you abort it, and then you take the fetal tissue and inject it. That's a real special program, isn't it? That's some of the processes that go into it. And then, of course, you got toxins, and then you got in cowpox. I mean, you take the blood out of animals, you know, and you inject it with urine and things like that. I had a pharmacist here one day, and he said, there's a very popular drug that you ladies take. And this popular drug, it's some kind of a hormone. I think that's what he told me, a hormone. And we were sitting here talking, and he said that hormone is made from horse urine. They take a mare, that's a female horse, and they collect the urine that comes out of this horse, and it's got these hormones in it. And then they package this up and they sell it to you ladies. Has anybody ever told you that that pill you're taking there is made out of horse piss? I think if somebody were to tell you plainly you're shooting up with horse piss there, lady, you know, you might reconsider that. But then I guess that's the price of good health, isn't it? In the United States, the number of compulsory vaccine injections has increased from 10 to 36 in the last 25 years. During this period, there's been a simultaneous increase in the number of children suffering learning disabilities and attention deficit disorder. I want to report to you that I never heard of attention deficit disorder, and I went to public school 50 years ago. There was a couple of rowdy kids in the school. I was one of them. Got a little hyper, a little rowdy. And they used to have discipline when I went to school. This is before child abuse was known. We didn't know what the hell child abuse was. I can't imagine children misbehaving in public school. What they would do is they'd grab you, shake you until your teeth rattled, slap you up alongside the head, send you down to the principal. His name was Bob Madsen. Old Madsen would grab a paddle and just beat the hell out of you. I mean, it wasn't near as good as old granddad could give. I mean, I was raised by my grandparents. My grandmother couldn't hurt me. I mean, she'd just wail away on me and just hurt her hand. My granddad had whacked me. He used to grab a stick. You know, we had a wood stove. We'd take a piece of kindling, a little stick, lead on my ass, and yeah, I could feel that. I was a very precocious child, too. I'm a very intelligent kid. And they used to call that the Board of Education. Board of Education, that was a name that they used to hang on that. Well, in public schools, you know, they just whap you. Kind of like Catholic school. God, that Catholic school terrified me. I had some Catholic friends. They were going up to the Catholic school, and they would tell us about what those nuns would do up there to you if you misbehaved in school. God, I thank God every day that I was in public school. I was terrorized by Catholicism from an early age for fear that my parents might send me to the Catholic school. But those Catholic kids, you know, when they came out of Catholic school, they could sit down, fold their hands, they could mind, they could hold a job. They could, you know, Catholics in this country seem to be getting along all right. Now, not so much anymore. They're starting to suffer from the same problems of permissiveness that the rest of us are suffering from. But I can remember as a kid they didn't have that problem. Hell, we didn't have that problem in public school, and we were pretty permissive back in the 40s. But the teacher would grab you, and she'd shake you. She'd send you down to the principal. The principal would whip you. We had a principal in the Marshall School in Eureka. Her name was Ellen Knudsen. God, that woman was a terrorist. God, you talk about Osama bin Laden. God, that old lady Knudsen over there, she was as ugly as a mud fence. I mean, she'd gag a maggot. She was a two-bagger if there ever was one. Mean? Hell, she must have been a Catholic nun. Went straight. It's the only thing I could figure out. She had a ruler. She'd take that damn ruler, make you hold out your hands, and it hit you on the back of your hand. Well, I'd rather hit my thumb with a hammer than to have that old lady grab a hold of a ruler. Scared me so bad, I ran away from school. I don't want to face her. Hell, I split and ran. Didn't do me any good, but it eased the terror. Yeah, we had terrorism in our public schools, but let me tell you, there weren't any school shootings. And everybody in the class could sit down, shut up, fold his hands, and do his work. We didn't have any discipline problems. Now you got this thing called ADHD. It's a disability now. It's attention deficit disorder. Well, what did we do in the last 60 years that created that problem? It isn't fatal, but then, you know, doesn't help the learning process, does it? Some of these childhood disabilities are related to intrauterine cerebral damage from maternal cocaine use, but probably vaccines cause many of the others. So I told you that story about my daughter over here. We gave her barley green. Barley green. You might want to write that one down. I don't know what barley green might do if herbs, you know, might do for autism. I've thought about that. That's got to be a tragedy. Sure as hell couldn't hurt, and it might actually do some good. Our daughter, if she hadn't been autistic, she sure would have been scrambled or screwed up. She'd have been one of those drug babies, crack babies they call them, mentally deficient. You know, barley green will do that in the early stages, early part. There's another thing that you might consider here. Did you know that charcoal, I'm not talking about charcoal briquettes now, so don't run out here and buy some, you know, King's Hill charcoal briquettes, take them home, start cutting them up and eating them. You got to get activated charcoal. You can buy it in the drugstore, over the counter. You can get it in tablets. And it was first tested by a Frenchman, about 1806, as I recall the story, and he wanted to show everybody how good this charcoal was. It absorbed 60,000 times. 60,000. 60,000 times its weight in toxins. So he took some arsenic, 3 grams as I recall, 3 grams of arsenic, and then followed that up with massive doses. Now, I don't know how much this massive doses of charcoal are. Doesn't tell me if six tablets or 6 capsules or 60. But the article said massive doses. I'd say 6 capsules would be a pretty massive dose of charcoal. Doses, plural, and with no ill effects. You know, well, that's enough arsenic there to kill 2 or 3 horses. No ill effects. Now, when you take poison or you get bit, you know, say a rattlesnake bites you, you take massive doses of charcoal and it'll neutralize the poison. Just thought I'd share that with you. It's what the old timers used to do. They learned it from this French guy back in 1806. I just wonder, you know, when these vaccines are given, if you were to give this child massive doses of charcoal, if you couldn't neutralize that. Well, many vaccines contain aluminum. Now, a new disease called macrophagic myofasciitis. There's no L in there. Myofasciitis. Causes pain in muscles, bones, and joints. Okay, we got rheumatism here. All persons with the disease have received aluminum-containing vaccines. All persons with this disease have received aluminum-containing vaccines, or vaccines containing aluminum, I think would have been a better way to construct that sentence there, partner. Deposits of aluminum are able to remain as an irritant in tissues and disturb the immune and nervous systems for a lifetime. Well, you know, charcoal, might take that out. There are a lot of herbs that God gave us in the Bible, and he didn't give us these herbs for no good purpose. You know, people screw up every once in a while, and you'll poison yourself. And if you poison yourself, you got to have an herb that solves the problem. Now, my old granny, see, you know, people used to live in the age before modern medicine, before the witch doctors took over American medicine over here. You know, there used to be cures to things. People used to get pneumonia, and they had a cure for it, you know, before penicillin. You could cure pneumonia without penicillin. Did you know that? Now, of course, today, you know, if a guy gets penicillin or a guy gets pneumonia, he's got to go to the hospital. That's number one. Then he's got to get a lot of penicillin antibiotics, and that's number two. And I don't know if the number of people dying from pneumonia or getting pneumonia is any less than it was before. There was a famous guy, the Muppets guy. He got pneumonia, and he died, and he went to the hospital. They couldn't save him. So I'm not so sure that modern medicine over here is all that it's cracked up to be. You know, they send you off to the hospital and you die anyway. They die from diseases, you know, that people have been dying from for years. People have been getting the flu and pneumonia for as long as I can remember. Yeah, and they were surviving back in the old days. People used to get TB and TB would go away. My father-in-law had TB as a young man, and it went away. They didn't have any vaccines for TB. Many people recovered from TB. They used to have TB sanitariums. You know, they'd lock you away. Well, diet might solve that problem also. Nearly all of these vaccines contain aluminum and mercury. That's aluminum and mercury. These metals appear to play an important role in the etiology Oh, my God. I don't know why they can't put a simpler name on that. Of Alzheimer's disease. Here's another one. I never heard of Alzheimer's disease when I was a kid. The hell is that? Alzheimer's disease, for crying out loud. Well, now we hear about it, don't we? And like old Doc Clark, back at the turn of the century, you know, back in the aught-threes and aught-fours, you know, back in the 1900s, well, old Doc Clark, he came to a conclusion. He says, look, I've looked at 200 cancer patients. They've all been shot up with snake venom and monkey pus. I never saw a case of cancer in an unvaccinated person. Well, that should have told us a little part of the story clear back here 100 years ago. Now, watch this. Nearly all vaccines contain aluminum and mercury. These metals appear to play an important role in the etiology of Alzheimer's disease. An expert at the 1997 International Vaccine Conference related that a person who takes 5 or more annual flu vaccine shots has increased the likelihood of developing Alzheimer's disease by a factor of 10 over the person who has had 2 or fewer flu shots. I reported that to you a couple days ago in a separate article. All right, cause and effect here, boys and girls. When we take vaccines, we're playing a modern version of Russian roulette. We not only get exposed to aluminum, mercury, formaldehyde, and foreign cell proteins, but we may be getting simian virus 40, that's called simian virus 40, and other dangerous viruses which can cause cancer, leukemia, and other severe health problems because the vaccine pool is contaminated due to careless animal isolation techniques. Congress has protected the manufacturers from lawsuits, so dangerous vaccines simply increase profits at no risk to the drug companies. So if you thought Congress and the FDA was out there protecting you, you got your head up your rectal region so far, you'll probably never see daylight again. Congress is your problem, not the solution. Congress isn't the solution. Congress is your problem. Dick Armey, in the last session, I think it was about 2 years ago now, he introduced a rider on a bill tucked away neatly somewhere to give immunity from prosecution or lawsuits to the pharmaceutical industries. Not only was it Congress that did it, it was Dick Armey that introduced it. A Republican, for crying out loud. Would we expect that from a Republican in America? Oh, my God. What has Congress degenerated into? U.S. children aged 2 months began receiving hepatitis B vaccine in December of 2000. U.S. children aged 2 months, began receiving hepatitis B vaccine in December of 2000. No peer review studies of the safety of hepatitis B in this age bracket have ever been done. Well, we're doing it now. We're going to experiment on your children. Now, are you really sure that you want to take your little 2-month-old baby in here and shoot him up with hepatitis B vaccine and then watch this kid over the next 5 or 10 years and see what kind of adverse effects occur? You know, it wouldn't be so bad if there was actually a study being done so that 5 or 10 years from now we could come up with a conclusion. But there aren't any studies being done. Hell, we might find out that it's causing an adverse reaction. We don't want to find out that kind of information, do we? That'll impact upon sales. We don't want that. It's bad for business. We're here to sell vaccines. Now, most people that I talk to always fall back on this excuse. They say, well, it's the law, it's required. What if the law required you to go down to Flo's Whorehouse? Would you do it? What if the law required that you killed somebody? Would you do it? Has it ever occurred to us that maybe there are some bad laws out there that ought not to be followed? I mean, in your own self-interest. Well, that's a wild new idea, but, you know, mull that one over for a minute. Over 36,000 adverse reactions with 440 deaths were soon reported, but the true incidence is much higher as reporting is voluntary, so only about 10% of adverse reactions get reported. Now, that's another piece of the puzzle. You see, doctors voluntarily report adverse reactions to vaccines. It isn't something that the CDC collects. Now, let me explain that one to you. If you die from cancer, the CDC, that's the Center for Disease Control, requires that the hospital and the doctors make a report. We want to know everybody that dies from cancer. We want to know about everybody that dies from stroke, heart disease, muscular dystrophy. And they've got laws. They got rules. You know, you got to report this. Got it? All right. Those are mandatory reporting requirements. And they do that, and they probably do a pretty good job at it. Now, let's suppose that a doctor discovers that he gave some shots to some kid the other day, and some adverse reactions come up. He doesn't have to report that. He can report it if he wants to, but he doesn't have to. Well, now, if this doctor gave your child some vaccines and some adverse reactions appeared, does he want to come to you and say, gee, it was the shots that killed your kid. It was the shot that gave your child autism or caused the SIDS and opened himself up to a malpractice suit? Huh? You can't sue Merck or Pfizer. Who in the hell are you going to sue? You're going to sue your doctor, aren't you? Now, do you think your doctor's going to fess up to that? Time to grow up. Smell the roses. So only 10% of adverse vaccine reactions are ever reported because it's voluntary. You can't sue the manufacturer, so you have to sue the doctor. And the doctor sure as hell ain't going to volunteer, well, you know, it was that hepatitis B vaccine I gave your kid yesterday that killed him or turned him into a vegetable. That isn't going to happen. Is it? Now, U.S. children, let me cover this for you again. This is an important paragraph. U.S. children aged 2 months. 2 months, not 2 years. 2 months. Hell, their immune system isn't even developed. Began receiving hepatitis B vaccine in December of 2000. No peer review studies of the safety of hepatitis B in this age bracket's ever been done. More than 36,000 adverse reactions with 440 deaths were soon reported, but the true incidence is much higher as reporting is voluntary, so only 10% of the adverse reactions ever get reported. So they did some studies and they say, hey, doc, do you ever report these? Well, yeah, not once in a while. So they did some studies and they found out about 10% do. Well, you got 440. 440 represents 10%. 440 times 10. 4,400 deaths is what actually occurs in this country, statistically, from hepatitis B vaccine. That's 4,400. How many people were killed in the trade towers with that terrorist attack? 3,000. Hell, they're killing 4,400 every year, for crying out loud. And you spent $37 billion on Homeland Security last year to protect you from terrorists? Hey, isn't this a misallocation of funds somewhere along the line? Where I'm from, we say you got your head up your wrong end. Now, that means that about 5,000 infants are dying annually from the hepatitis B vaccine. The CDC's chief of epidemiology admits that the frequency of the serious reactions to hepatitis B vaccine is 10 times higher than in other vaccines. Oh, my God. This is the head of the organization. He says, well, yeah, this hepatitis B, it has 10 times the reactions. Hey, when was the last time Dan Rather reported on that? Huh? When was the last time Tom Brokaw said, hey, let me tell you the hepatitis B story, right from our sponsor here on the 6 o'clock news, Merck and Pfizer, huh? Hey, listen, and I told you before, all these numbers are available, they're tucked away in all these studies. Hell, it's paid for with your taxpayer dollars, you ought to take advantage of it, shouldn't you? You're paying for it. You might as well find out what your money's buying. They're telling you they're killing 5,000 babies a year with hepatitis B. That's only one out of 36 vaccine. One out of 36. for crying out loud. Could it be that there's some other vaccine that might be killing a kid or two that we didn't know about? Should we even be looking into it? Should we even conduct a study? Now, if we had an airplane crash over here, by God, we'd be conducting a study, wouldn't we? Hepatitis B is transmitted sexually and by contaminated blood. So the incidence of this disease must be near zero in this age bracket. Yeah, when was the last time your two-month-old baby was out having sex down at Flo's Whorehouse? When was the last time your two-month-old baby had a blood transfusion? So what the hell's the purpose of giving these babies hepatitis B vaccinations when the probable likelihood of them getting hepatitis through sexual contact or tainted blood is near zero? This is another one of those cases where the cure is worse than the disease. And yet they've convinced us that we have to have these shots. You know, we're so damn illiterate in this country when it comes to medicine. You go to the doctor and he says, oh, my God, this child's got to have these vaccines. It's good for him. This same pediatrician, 90% of the pediatricians, remember, they don't vaccinate their own children, but they're shooting your kid up. Now, what's that tell you? We used to call that hypocrisy in the old days. Tell you, what do you call that today? A vaccine expert, Dr. Philip Incao, I-N-C-A-O, states that the conclusion is obvious, that the risks of hepatitis B vaccination far outweigh the benefits. Duh. Once a vaccine is mandated, the vaccine manufacturer is no longer liable for the adverse reactions. By the way, when you take your kid in to have him shot up, you know, you sign a piece of paper that says that you waive. You're going to waive your rights to sue the doctor. Did you ever notice that? Well, I do that here in a public school. You get your kid shot up, they send a note home and say, hey, we're going to have vaccinations next week. Sign here. I told you what I did with mine. I called the school nurse on the phone and I said, hey, listen, sweetheart, if there's a problem, I'll keep my kid home. Because if there's going to be a problem and you have an accident and you shoot my kid up with monkey pus, you may rest assured that litigation will follow. So you need to send a note over there and tell them, don't shoot my kid up. You need to educate yourself on how to send a child to public school. I mean, if you don't care enough about your kid to remove him from the bad environment of the public school, at least don't kill him with these vaccines. I mean, yeah, go ahead, send your kid to public school and teach him permissiveness and sexual permissiveness and let him suck Cokes and eat peanuts and popcorn out of the vending machines. But, you know, why kill him with a direct injection? Yeah, I'm out of time. I got to leave it right there. You've been listening to the Law Hour and Editorial Review, sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. We'll be back tomorrow night, same time, same station, and I'll tell you some more. There's more to come. Don't go away, folks. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard 7 days a week worldwide on the Internet. For more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to the website. It's georgegordon.org. The Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that's open to individuals, people just like you, by prearrangement. The Law Hour is carried worldwide on the Internet. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. All right, there's the signal. Says my time's up. I've got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night, same time, same station. So until then, good night, friends.